Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. It's great to be here with you all. Thank you, many of you who came yesterday to help out for the church work day. There's a lot that got done, painting, cleaning, and all kinds of stuff. Stuff I don't even know got done, but thank you all for doing that. It's beautiful to be a part of an experience. You know, it's one of the things the church does that maybe we take for granted, that not everybody has this in their life, and realize that it is a beautiful thing when we just come together and do things and experience the joy of being a family. A serious announcement, not that they're not all worth paying attention to, but our radio broadcast is going to come to an end. This has perhaps just been a matter of time. You know, we broadcast for over 55 years. We had a hiatus for a while when there was a change in ownership, and when we got an agreement with the current company, you know, we said, okay, well, we'll continue as long as we have members or anybody who's willing to contribute to support the broadcast, you know, rather than making a part of the budget. And so that we don't have enough money in the radio fund to continue that. So it'll go to the end of the month. So next Sunday will be the last broadcast on WCFW. This does not mean that we can't resurrect it at another time, but that's just the current situation. Of course, the streaming will continue. If you know anybody who has trouble getting the streaming and wants to do that, you know, maybe they're dependent on the radio now. Some of our homebound members are in that situation. If you need help, just let us know. We'll make sure we get somebody who can help you so you could at least do the streaming. That will continue. If you have any questions about this at all, just let me know after the service. So next Sunday, that's the planned end of our radio broadcasting. And for the sake of those listening on the radio, allow me to announce today's hymns. And we are following Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184. The opening hymn is 566, By Grace I'm Saved. The hymn of the day is 633, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. Distribution hymn 700, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Then 555, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. That's a longer hymn, so it may get us through distribution. Our closing hymn, 845, Where Charity and Love Prevail. Included in our prayers, but not listed, is Chuck's wife, Linda. She had a hip replacement and some complications. So we'll include Linda in our prayers. I'll save some other announcements for later. You could see what's coming up this week. That's what I want to talk about. So let's begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the intro.
Oh, us. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading of this fifth Sunday in Easter is from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert again and sing together the gradual. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle is from Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father. So they were saying, what does this mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will leap, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she has no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Well, what else did Jesus have to say to the disciples? He had already told them so much. They had been with him for 3 years. This was not a casual instruction. This was full-time committed discipleship, listening to, learning from, observing, absorbing Christ in his word for them. He was the master teacher, and they were just taking it in. But he had more. I mean, more than what he's already given. And just that night already, before he said this, this is the night of his betrayal. So we know it's recorded a lot that he's already told them. You just look a couple chapters back in John, and it's like, okay, he's washing the disciples' feet. This is what he's teaching them, and Peter's objecting. He tells them, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. So he's already helping them get it. It's like, I'm teaching you, you're going to get it, right? He knows they can't bear this, and more. I've given you an example that you also should do just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant's not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. He's showing them by being a servant, we too are to serve others. That's how we live out this life of faith that he's given us. He tells them one would betray him. They're trying to get their heads around all this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Again, this is just that night, they're trying to take this in. He's told Peter that Peter would deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed. Peter cannot bear that. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Okay, try to absorb that. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I'm just trying to put myself in their position. I can't, of course, trying to take this in. We hear these words. We try to take it in. We know what it's like. So this is all that night. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And again, another, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And I'll throw one more in. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay. These are just some of the things that he's already taught them that night. And there's more, right? There's a lot more. That's a lot to bear. How could they understand this? And all that Jesus has already said to them, and now he has more to say to them. They need time. They need time to process, right? To consider this. What does this mean? What does this mean? Not just to comprehend, but to bear it. To bear what Jesus has already said and done. And there's more to come in a little while, right? Jesus says, in a little while. Now we start talking about the bearing. It's not just about trying to understand it cognitively. It's like bearing what this all means. Because in just a few hours, Jesus would be taken captive by these hostile opponents, enemies. These are men of influence and power, and they would take their beloved leader, their rabbi, Jesus, the one that they had forsaken all to follow, committed themselves to. And they would just stand by helplessly as Jesus allows this to happen, as he's falsely accused, unjustly convicted. He's publicly mocked and ridiculed and beaten and stripped naked. They would just watch Jesus, the one in whom they had hoped be the Messiah, the one they had put all their hopes in. They would watch him suffer and die on the cross, the accursed cross. They would see the spear pierce and the water and blood flow out. Yeah, he's dead. They'd be put in that tomb, sealed, guarded. He's dead. They could not bear then that the Lord, God, the Messiah, must suffer and die. They could not bear then that the way, as Christ referred to himself, the way was the way for them to follow. That was the way of the cross, the way of unjust persecution, suffering, death. They could not bear then that that's the way of a disciple of Christ. They could not bear then that the truth incarnate, is Christ hanging on a cross, dead. They could not bear then that the life was a man who is dead. And Jesus knew that as disciples, they're going to be crushed, they're going to be afraid, they're going to be disoriented. They themselves would not be able to bear this. They would not be able to conceive of their sorrow ending. In the middle of this, how could it end well? How can we get through this? They couldn't conceive of that sorrow ending until it did. Truly, truly, Jesus tells them, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice as Jesus has been crucified. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman's giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. There would be joy at the resurrection. Jesus is assuring them. He's assuring them because they need this assurance. Their sorrow would turn to joy. And what was unthinkable to them, unimaginable, their dead rabbi, Jesus, was alive, resurrected, with them, their hope restored, their joy unspeakable. The truth is confirmed. Everything that Jesus had said is true. Even those words from the cross and those words, it is finished. Everything he came to do is finished. It's done. Sins have been paid for. The devil has been beaten. Death has been swallowed up. Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. He's Lord. He is God. The sharpness of the pain and anguish that they would endure would be gone, and his presence with him would bring joy. And yet Jesus would leave them again a little while. Jesus is not only preparing his disciples for his crucifixion, he's also preparing them for his ascension. Just 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus would leave the disciples again for their good. This was good. So the disciples would know the truth of Jesus' words. They would know the reality of his resurrection. They would still not be able to bear it, not alone, not without help. So Jesus promised he would send a helper, and he does. The helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ would help them. They would experience more sorrow. They would experience the sorrow that comes for people in this world in general, this fallen world, life in this fallen world. Family and friends have sickness and suffering and the effects of aging, and people we love die. There's corruption, there's crime, wickedness. It's obvious, it's evident. It affects life in this world. But more than that, they would especially experience sorrow as Christians, as disciples of Christ. They had been baptized into Christ, and so they are sharing in his suffering. They would experience injustice, ridicule. They would endure the mocking of the world. They would experience the assaults of Satan and the demonic realm. So Jesus would send them the Holy Spirit to help them and guide them into all the truth. The Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them at that feast of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus ascends, and the Holy Spirit would declare to them the things to come. The Holy Spirit would glorify Jesus Christ, taking what is Christ's and declaring it to them. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the disciples would receive and bear the words of Christ. Their minds would be open so that they can understand the word, and they would be given joy that would never end. The words of Christ were recorded by the apostles, and they're declared to us today. This is our New Testament. We too need help to bear these words. So we've received the same Holy Spirit. One reason I gave a little bit of a kind of an extension off, you know, today's gospel pericope is like when we just kind of scan the scriptures, like there is so much. How can we bear it, right, cognitively? So the Holy Spirit helps us. Holy Spirit, he came to you in your baptism, and he continues to come to you through the word of Christ. He continues to do this. We still need help to guide you into all truth. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't bear that. We couldn't bear that the Lord God must suffer and die. We couldn't bear that the way for us to follow is the way of the cross, that the way of a disciple of Christ is the way of injustice and ridicule and suffering. We couldn't bear that the truth is Jesus crucified and risen. Couldn't bear that the life is as a man who died. Jesus knows that we experience trials in the fallen world. He knows we have friends and family who suffer sickness, the effects of aging, death. He knows the effects of corruption and wickedness in this world, and they're evident, and also how they affect us in our day-to-day lives as we're in this world. And Jesus knows that we, especially as Christians, we experience sorrow as Christians, as his disciples, having been baptized into him. He knows that we share in his suffering, and he is sharing in your suffering. As we follow Jesus and hold to his word, we experience injustice and ridicule for being his disciples as we publicly confess Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the way, as the truth, as the life. We endure mocking of the world, and we experience the assaults of the evil one. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us, and sends him still to guide us into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit gives us faith in Jesus as the Lord, as our Savior, who has saved us from our sin, who has given us life eternal. The Holy Spirit brings us the will of God through the Word, and the Holy Spirit brings us to repentance when we fall short, and brings us grace in the assurance of forgiveness in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to us when we gather here in his name. He comes to us through the Word of Christ as we read it, hear it, try to learn it, treasure it in our hearts. This is why we spend time outside of this brief time together in the divine service, in the Word, in our family devotions, in Bible studies where we're engaging and working through this Word that's for us, that the truth is revealed to us in that. To help us bear it. And the Holy Spirit comes to us in the divine service, taking the things that belong to Christ and delivering them to us here. The Word, in the liturgy, in the hymns, so rich, and in this sacrament of the altar. The Holy Spirit strengthened us through this Word so that we can bear it. We rejoice in it. We are in that little while, the little while between Christ's ascension, we don't see him, and his return. And the preaching of the Word is to sustain us as it does while we wait. The church waits in expectation of Christ's imminent return and our resurrection. And we take consolation in the truths that are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit in his Word. We rejoice in the truth. The suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ has delivered us from our sin, delivered us from death, from the power of evil. We rejoice in the certainty of our resurrection and our life in Christ. In this life, we do weep and lament as we wait for the reappearance of our Lord Jesus. But our sorrow will turn into joy. And like a woman who gives birth, there's sorrow in the hour of birth. But her anguish gives way to the joy of a human being born into the world. So also we have sorrow now, but Jesus will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. You may be seated as the offering is collected. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, you have promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who makes known to us all truth and keeps us in your word. Grant to us, O Lord, faithful pastors who will teach us your word and devoted church workers who will serve us in your name. Bless those preparing for church work vocations and inspire many to follow your call. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you bless the anguish of childbirth with new life according to your good and gracious will. Sustain all mothers with child and those with young children. Bless your church, the mother of all your faithful children. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you hold all people accountable for the responsibilities you have given them. Bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Guide them to serve according to your will and for the common good of all. Raise up those with heroic virtue who will defend our liberty. Protect those who defend us in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. Lord, in your mercy. O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to their perfect consummation. You will bring heaven to earth and banish sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain Linda, Shirley, Fred, Anita, Duane, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Erno, Jeff, Ethel, and all those now in tribulation. By the comfort of your holy word, increase their faith and see them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, you have given us both bread for the body and Christ, the bread of life. Prepare us now to receive with faith and thanksgiving his flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Unite us that we may believe and confess one faith, and bring us to that day when we shall be one people together at the table of our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue, page 194, with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has destroyed to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat."
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.